Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, Yakuza! What a headshot! What a hit! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have to is...
Hello, everybody. It is episode 110 of the LFC Podcast and Catch. My name's Nish. I'm the host. And I've got a very, very special guest on with me today. Sorry, I can't speak right now because it's about 10:30 p.m. and I've had a couple of reds. So I have got my good friend, Rado, all the way from Poland. Are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Hiya. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody out there. Now, firstly, I've seen your name because we've known each other for about 5 years now. And I've never known how to properly pronounce your surname, so I'm going to give it a try first.
Okay.
Because you are from Poland. Please forgive me. I'm terrible.
Full name. No worries.
Full name Radoslaw. I'm guessing that's correct.
Yes.
Kmiel.
Almost perfect. It's Kmiel, like you would like to say Ham. However, I got used to, so you were almost perfectly. So Kmiel. Well done to you.
Thanks. Pardon my ignorance. I'm so sorry. But it's amazing to talk to you. I've known you for so long, mostly because of your connection with Liverpool. I've seen you do things like, we'll talk about it in more detail later on, but things like translating Steven Gerrard's book, which is amazing by itself. It's pretty amazing in English, but you translated it to Polish, which is just, you know, an honor in itself. And we've been Facebook friends for quite a while, so I get to see all these little travels you're doing. But I always ask people who come on the podcast for the very first time two questions. One, who are you and where you're from, which is easy. And then the second question is, why do you support our club from wherever in the world you are? So maybe if you want to kick it off like that, it'd be great to hear your story.
Absolutely. So yes, my name is Rado and I come from Poland. However, I live in Liverpool since a decade right now, so quite a long time. I moved in 2007 to our lovely city of Liverpool, which is actually right now very, very sunny because it's 1:30 p.m. in the UK. We've got lovely weather. I'm a freelance journalist. I'm doing a little bit of projects for Polish media. I'm focusing on Liverpool, on English Premier League. Most recently, I started to work with Polish magazine called, very simply, Polish Reds, where I am able to put my views about the team, about how we play, and other things like that. Apart from that, I'm also responsible for the official Polish Twitter account called Simply Poland LFC. So you can find us on Twitter if you speak Polish. I'm sure you've got plenty of Polish people in Australia. So.
Oh, mate, yeah, everywhere.
So it's a good recommendation to catch up with us as well on Twitter. And when did I start to support Liverpool? Wow, that was quite a long time ago. Like almost 20 years, 1999. I hope everyone remembered the game when Liverpool played at Anfield against Manchester United. I watched this game from the videotape. I didn't see it live. I watched it in Poland on the VHS cassette. And actually, Liverpool lost this game 3-2 after two own goals from our very own Jamie Carragher. And apparently, I felt in love with Liverpool, not with Man United, who won the game, because of the passion of the fans, you know, the support on the stands, singing, chanting, you know, the dedication of the player who, despite the bad result, they tried their best to get and change the result into their own. Well, that was something really magical. And despite from the loss, I started to support Liverpool. And obviously, later, 2001, Jesus came to Liverpool, my compatriot. I used to be a goalie, and he was the catalyst for myself to get known about Liverpool more. Because in early 2000, in Poland, we started to have fast internet finally, and there was wider access to the news and everything like that. So, you know, for the teenager, which I used to be that time, who was a goalkeeper, and Dudek was my role model. It was something like, wow, he plays for Liverpool, for my team, which I support. Well, something which was really amazing. And then 6 years later, 2006, actually, that was the first time when I came to Liverpool. I was in my high school, and I decided to travel to Liverpool for summer holidays. I didn't tell my parents until the very day of the journey. Basically, the day before the journey, I said to them, listen, I'm going to Liverpool. And they were, what? How are you going to Liverpool? When? I said to them, tomorrow. They were shocked. They were absolutely shocked.
You evil son. What are you doing?
Yes,
your poor parents?
I was. Do you know, they asked me, why are you going to Liverpool? Why do you want to go? Well, my dad knew why I wanted to go. But obviously I lied. Yes, I want to go to grab some summer work. You know, I want to help you. You supported me for so many years. Now I want to do something for yourself as well. Blah, 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 blah. Obviously, the first day after I arrived to Liverpool, I went to Melwood. Not to the work, so
that's insane.
Yeah, it was insane. It was my dream to do it. Let me just remind it. Yeah, it was Tuesday when I arrived to Liverpool.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, I went to Melwood for the first time. I didn't go to any, you know, working agencies or whatever to register myself. I just went straight to Melwood because I wanted to meet players. And it was year after the Istanbul triumph. It was couple of weeks after FA Cup final. And I went to Melwood. I went to the guard and I said, listen, I came from Poland. I wanted to meet with Jerzy Dudek. And is it possible to ask him if he can stop in front of the gates? And the guy said, yeah, of course, you can go. You can wait here. I'll go and ask. He came back after like 10, 15 minutes and he said, do you know, Jesse is happy to talk to you, but you have to go a little bit far away because obviously the kids will interrupt you asking for photos, autographs and everything. Yeah. And I was made up. I was absolutely made up. You know, I saw Gerard coming over, Carragher, Robbie Fowler at the time, Craig Bellamy, because they were in the squad. And I was like, I don't care about them. I care about Jesse. And he... I knew which car he was driven, and I saw that BMW X3 coming over, and he pulled out. You know, he put the wind down, and he asked, "Hey lads, how you doing?" Because I was with my friends,
yeah.
And my jaw literally dropped down. Like probably I couldn't find it until the end of the day, and I was like, "Jesse, it's a pleasure to meet you."
How old were you at this point? Just what, 17 or something, or what?
17, 18-ish, something like that.
Oh God.
Yeah. So it was crazy times, you know. And you know, Jesse was so friendly because he asked us, "What are we doing here?" So obviously we said we came to work and everything. And he asked, "Do you want a lift? Because I'm going to the city center, so I can you know, drop you off."
No.
And we were like, no, you're joking. Yeah, that was my reaction. That was my reaction, like, same as yours. And he said, yeah, that's fine. You know, I can give you a lift. Absolutely fine. So we came into the car and we started to chat about coming friendly, because there was a friendly to be played on Saturday,
yeah.
The following Saturday against Wrexham United away.
Yeah.
And Jesse asked if we've been to Anfield, if we've been to the game. I said that we've been to Anfield. We wanted to buy the tickets for the game, but it's sold out. And during that journey, Jesse said, "Listen, give me your number, and I will call you tomorrow. I'll try to sell the tickets for you." And I was like,
jeez.
"What on earth are you talking to me? Am I dreaming or
a whole different planet?"
Yeah,
out of curiosity, was this the point when he was kind of, you know, he was very much the second keeper as well, so he wasn't getting too many games? Or
yeah.
He was? Okay, cool. So feeling the love. I'm starting to understand why he would give you so much love, and it must be because clearly he was, you know, he wasn't getting so much love from the manager, I guess, at the time. So having love from fans, he must be so over the moon as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, since this time, since 2006, me and Jesse started to be close friends, you know, with Facebook and everything. When I started to do that little journalistic project, I always wanted to interview him. So I did the interview, and you know, we started to have another project this year, which I will come back later.
Yeah.
But you know, with that Wrexham game, he I just wrote my number on a piece of paper. I left this piece of paper to Jersey. We got out from the car, and well, we couldn't stop thank Jersey for his time and everything. You know, he was so kind, and the story is absolutely crazy because that was Thursday when I met him.
Yeah.
The following Saturday was the game, and Jersey promised me to call on Friday. On Friday, obviously, I went to work. I had my shift in the candy factory. Yeah, it was a candy factory. That's correct. Yeah, pretty funny job for the kid.
Cool. Yeah, fair enough.
But it was my shift was from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. So basically. I couldn't have my mobile with me on the premises,
yeah.
But I didn't care at the time. I just said to myself, okay, I will keep my mobile with me. If they will sack me, I don't give a shit. Seriously. So I was waiting.
Jersey, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the main point. And the thing was that there was my first break on 8 a.m. I checked my mobile, no phone calls, no text messages and anything like that. During lunch break, it was the same. And when I finished at 2, the phone was silent again. So I went back home. My friend returned from his work. And instead of asking, how was my day? Or what do we eat today? Or what are we doing in the afternoon? He just simply asked, did Jersey call? And I was like, no, he didn't.
No,
so, no. You know, it's Friday afternoon. We really wanted to go to this game. Even if it was just a preseason friendly, you know, it was, well, for us, from Poland, first time seeing Liverpool. We didn't care about the importance of the game, obviously. So, yeah, on Friday afternoon, Jersey didn't call up. So we decided to go to the library, to use the public computers to, you know, check emails, send some greetings, you know, buy some postcards as well. So we decided to go to the city center in the morning. It was about 10 a.m. When I was in a queue at the post office trying to send my postcards. And my phone started to ring. I checked, and that was an unknown number. So I picked up and I said, hello, this is Rado. How can I help? And from the other side, I heard a female voice, and I was surprised. And the female voice said, oh, hi, this is Mirella, Jersey's wife. How are you doing?
Oh, like, no.
Yeah, hi, Mirella. Yeah, I'm doing very well. How are you? It's like, shocked. And, you know, she said to me that, you know, Jersey forgot to call you yesterday. You know, he's always clumsy like that. However, he's got the tickets for you if you want to go for a game. I was like, yes, obviously. And I thanked Mirella for the information. And I called my friend because he was in the library at the time. I called him and I said to him, hey, mate, guess who's called? He was like, it was it Jersey? I said, no, his wife. Anyway, we've got the tickets, so we have to go to the train station because the game kicked off at 3 p.m. And we had a like almost 2 hours journey to Wrexham from Liverpool by train. So we went to the train station. We bought the tickets. We had scarves and shirts with us just in case. And it's obviously paid off. So we went for a game. We went to the ticket office, and I said that I've got tickets from Jerzy Dudek to collect. And the guy in the ticket office said, which newspaper are you? I was like, no, I'm not from the newspaper. You know, I've got tickets from Jerzy Dudek. You know, Jerzy Dudek, Istanbul Dance. Oh, yeah, Jersey, yeah, of course. Here you go. There are your tickets. So the lad gave us the tickets. We were made up. We were absolutely made up already. And we went to the stands. We had our tickets were just behind on the main stand of Wrexham Stadium. But we went to the goal because there was a warm-up and we wanted to thank Jersey in person. So we started to scream, Jersey, Jersey, Jersey. He looked at us, came to us, and we said, listen, thank you very much for the tickets. This is absolutely amazing. What are you doing? Well, completely out of words. He said, he just blinked, you know, gave us high five and said, don't thank me yet. We were like, what? Why? Why don't you want us to thank you now? He's like, you'll see. Okay, fair enough. So the warm-up was finished. We went to find our places, and We found the role, we found the places, and next to us were Luis Garcia, Robbie Fowler. There was our previous director, David. Before FSG, before Tom Hicks and Chilet. There was a local businessman. I forgot his name. However, he was there as well.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So, it was executive lounge, and we were like shocked. Absolutely shocked. So that was my first story, my first initial story with first ever game of Liverpool and how I met Jersey.
That's absolutely incredible, man. And you became friends with them ever since then, just mad Polish fans just coming over, living in Liverpool, being in the right place at the right time and just, you know, hedging your bets, and you got the great win at the end of it. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we just clicked up. Everything clicked up at the very first second. And the thing with Jersey is that he's such a friendly person. He never refuses you to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
He never refuses to sign the items. He's simply down to earth person and a very, very kind lad. I don't know if many of you read his English biography, which, by the way, I translated.
Nice.
However, his childhood and everything describes him as a person, and he states like he is since he was born. So basically, the whole story of Jerzy Dudek is being Jerzy Dudek himself.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And I'll admit, I was very sad when he left. As much as I love Pepe Reina, I'll never forget what he did, you know, obviously, during that big game. Istanbul, and also beforehand, he did make, you know, he will admit himself, he probably made some mistakes as well, you know, during the league, which, you know, maybe called for a replacement to come in. But then what upsets me the most was him only playing two games for Real Madrid, you know, in from 07 through to 2011. That's must be so painful for a guy, a professional athlete.
You know, when I spoke with him about this decision, he said it was painful. However, Iker Casillas at the time was out of his league. I'd rather say that during the time when Jersey was his substitute, Casillas was the best goalkeeper in the world. Even Gigi Buffon was far, far behind him that time. And it's because of Jersey, because Jersey pushed Iker to be the best. He always encouraged him during the trainings to get better and better. They stayed for extra training sessions just with those two of them. So I believe Jersey was the influential person for Iker's form that time.
Yeah, that's amazing. At least he had, you know, he's humble enough to know, hey, look, his career is ending essentially because of another keeper in front of him. He doesn't, you know, crack a hissy fit, as we call it over here in Australia, and just get upset and start, you know, blaming other people. But he actually helped him along. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's just his spirit. He's always here to help. In anything he's able to help, he will do it. So that's what we Polish people in general have. If we can help, we basically do it. That's the generation which grow us up, you know. Our parents were always like that, saying that if you can help somebody, just do it will come back to you. So I just take it as a mantra, and I just keep following it.
No, that's amazing. Before I get on to, because I want to talk to you about how you got the Liverpool gig, but I want to just get your thoughts on another young Polish keeper who I admire greatly, because I've seen a lot of him in the under-23s, but young Kamil Grabara. He's getting a lot of headlines. It's funny because I'll be honest, he doesn't look like a world-beating goalkeeper when you just look at his physical appearance, but he is so skillful. What are the general thoughts around and the club, and from what you've heard, and especially Polish fans, what are they thinking about him right now?
He's highly rated. I think that was last year when The Guardian put him on the 60 most talented players in Europe. So, you know, he's just not even 18 right now. He's, or maybe, yeah, he is 18. probably getting 19 in January. However, he's still a young keeper, right? But he's taller than me. He's like 6'5". So he's one head taller than myself, and I'm not a little guy. So
I'm 5'7".
Oh, there you go.
I'm not a goalkeeper. But,
yeah. Anyway, from his physicness, he has a height to be a good goalkeeper. But apart from that, his reflex is amazing. He's one of the top cuts on the line.
Yeah.
His commanding in the area is just absolutely great. I remember when I watched his first even game for Liverpool under 23s last season, and there was the game they sadly lost 4-0. However, Grabara was man of the match, and I said to him in the post-match interview that coming without you, Liverpool would lose probably 10-0 or something, because he saved a lot of balls, a lot of one-on-ones. He commanded the area very well. Yeah. I remember when he shouted at Sako, "Just move on, just move fucking on."
So, he said that to Sako.
Yeah, exactly.
What a boss.
So, you know, he's very confident about his abilities.
Fantastic.
And he said during that interview, he said that I'm happy about this game. Even despite the thing that I conceded 4 goals, I don't blame myself. I know that I did the best. And that was the thing. Basically, he did what he could. None of those goals were by his fault. And I spoke with Steven Gerrard about him, and Steven rates him very well as well. Same as Neil Critchley. And the fact that Camille is training in Melwood with first team since actually after just a couple of months after his arrival to Liverpool, he started to train with the first team.
Yeah, nice.
That says everything.
That's great. I didn't realize he was that tall. He's 6'5". That's very tall. I think just because he looks so skinny right now, but
yeah,
as you said,
he looks skinny. However, he's quite tall.
He's a big boy.
As I say, he's taller than me, and
It feels like a long time since Liverpool's had a genuinely tall goalkeeper who we want to keep as our goalkeeper. Because
even Jesse wasn't too tall. No, well, he was 6'6" something, yeah. But
they're all short and they're all nippy and stuff. But then you see the people like, you know, Thibaut Courtois, and these guys are huge and they always seem to do very well against us. So it's just like, it'd be good to have a very tall keeper who just has a huge wingspan.
But you see, this is the stereotype, I would say, that a good goalkeeper has to be tall. No, it's not. Because when I remember my times when I used to be a goalie, in my team, we had a lad who was, I think, 5'7", or something similar to yourself. But yeah. His jumping abilities were so crazy that he could basically save the top balls, you know, going into the crossbar, and he jumped and just simply pushed the ball out. So I don't say that being tall helps you. Obviously, it does. However, it's not a necessary thing.
No, totally right. I mean, Australia's number one keeper right now, a guy called Matty Ryan. I think he's actually playing in England right now, maybe. Matty Ryan, he is 6 foot, so he's our number one keeper right now, and he's exactly the same, just very fast and springy and great positioning intelligence. So,
And it's same with Brad Jones when he was at his peak in Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
He's not as tall as he's supposed to be.
Yeah. He's now doing much better. Was he Feyenoord right now?
Feyenoord Rotterdam, yeah. Former Jesus club. So I watch his. Actually, I watched the Champions League against Napoli, and he played it pretty well.
Yeah, cool. Hey, before we get on to your thoughts on the Champions League, because if you're able to summarize, how the hell did you get a job with Liverpool? Looking after the official. I see you also do work for This Is Anfield, which is great because they're a big, big publication as well. So Liverpool. But you look after at Poland LFC. By the way, if anyone wants to follow Rado, because clearly he's interesting, he's got a great background with the club, it's at Rado, RadoChmiel, Chmiel, if I'm saying
yes,
that right now.
Yes, very well. Wow, yes. You're getting better and better.
There you go. So at RadoChmiel, he's on Twitter. But yeah, he runs Poland LFC for any Polish fans out there. So how about you give us a quick summary? How the hell did you land that job?
This is all thanks to Paul Rogers, our former head of digital media in Liverpool Football Club. When I was in Liverpool, I started to do some charity for Polish people. There was a pretty nasty accident for one of our Polish fans called Eva. She was 16 and she had a train accident and her legs were caught before the knees. So that was a very sad story, and she was a Liverpool supporter. And when I heard about this accident and how much she did suffer that time and how much money she needed to get the prosthesis to be able to walk again. And I was in England already, and I decided to help her because I had some charity backgrounds. I did a couple of charity football tournaments in Poland for the kids. So, you know, I was always willing to help with all my abilities. So I started to contact the club. I think I wrote to James Carroll for the first time about the story that our Polish Reds are raiding the funds to get the prosthesis. James was so kind to...
Sorry to cut you off, Redo. Are you able to maybe somehow move away from that jet engine that you're standing next to or whatever's going on in the background?
I think it's my washing machine.
Oh, is that what it is?
it's almost finishing. Okay. So almost done. So I don't know if you can hear me better now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's better.
I was just like, what the hell is going? I thought it was at the facade. I thought it was like some crazy German nightclub or something that you just happened to be in. I don't know how, but
Jürgen, put the beer behind. It's like scooter or something. How much is the fish? I never think.
That's all right. Okay, sorry, man. I so sorry to cut you off in the middle of that conversation.
No,
please
problem.
Continue.
No. So James Carroll, he was so kind to write the story about Eva, and the story hit the official Liverpool website. So since then, we were able to, you know, get some more attention from the world, and we set up the PayPal account, and people started to pay the money in to Eva for her prosthesis. So there was not only the Polish thing, but it was worldwide Reds support for her. Jamie Carragher was also kind to donate his painting. He signed the painting. He also signed the shirt with the dedication to Eva, get well. I went to Poland to give her that shirt. She was so made up about that. And, you know, we were able to raise the money for the prosthesis. So she had an operation, and the prosthesis went well. And that was, I think that was the first thing that Liverpool knew, that there is some crazy Polish lad in Liverpool who's nice. Doing such a nice things for, you know, for the Polish Reds community. And I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, 2013 or something, when there was a series of Global International LFC or something like that, when Paul Rogers was doing the interviews with international Reds fans about how they began to be a fans, what are they doing, etc., etc. So he somehow he got my email address. He emailed me if I'd be happy to do it, which I was obviously happy to do it. So we did this interview, and a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks later, he emailed me again, and he asked me if I'd like to work over the digital media department and to do the official Polish Twitter for LFC. And I said, yes, of course I want to. That's how I joined the department with a bunch of lovely lads around. So that's how the story happened. And coming back to Eva, 2 years later, after her surgery, she came to Liverpool.
Sorry, Redo. Are you able to stop that bird from squeaking? What is going on in your house, man?
This is my gift from my mom. You know, it's like a clock. Every 4 hour, different bird sings. So, but it's silent now. All silence.
You just live crazy. In a world of noise.
Welcome to Liverpool.
Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So, coming back to Eva, 2 years after her surgery, she made her dream come true because she came to Liverpool, and Liverpool FC were so kind that they gave her 2 tickets for Chelsea game. So she went to see Chelsea game, and the day before we went to Liverpool ladies derby, and she was invited into the pitch. She was given assigned ball by the first team of LFC and a signed shirt by Liverpool ladies from Gemma Bonner, the captain, and she had a standing ovation from the fans. There were about 1,500 people in the stadium for the ladies' derby, and you know they clapped Eva, and she was absolutely made up. I was there, and even now when I you know think about it, I've got tears in my eyes because they were so touching and such a nice gesture. So yeah. amazing story.
That's absolutely awesome. So you got so many things happening all at once. So so you've been in Liverpool at that point 6 years, 7 years?
Yes,
you've been hanging around, you've been doing charity, helping Eva get recognition, you know, get known by the club, and then Paul Rogers comes along and hires you to be an actual employee of the club as well. It's just absolutely brilliant. And so, you know, are you watching lots of games? I'm assuming you're going to pretty much all of them. Is that fair to assume?
Yeah, of course. Like tomorrow, I'm going to witness to do the report from ladies' game, and they play against Reading tomorrow night at 7 p.m. UK time. Weekend, probably it is under 23 game as well. So I'm going to see Camille, how he will go. Under 18s, of course, of Steven Gerrard's, because I'm really keen to see how he is progressing with his new role in the club. Basically it's crazy because my fixtures are around Liverpool fixtures. So sometimes like last Friday, it was absolutely crazy because during the same day, within an hour or so, it was under 18s mini derby, under 23s played at Anfield against Tottenham, and ladies played the derby game in Widnes. So I wasn't able to do it. See, basically. I couldn't anyway because I was the day after my eye surgery, so had to stay at home anyway.
Yeah, well, I hope that all went well, to say the least. So you still got your eyes, which is good. So,
yeah, I need them. I really need them.
Definitely. Hey, I've got a quick question about Steven Gerrard's stuff because I've been watching a lot of under-18s as well. I love watching academy games. Are you as excited about Curtis Jones as I am? Because I'm freaking out right now.
I am too. He's such a talented guy. However, I have to put you into a little sadness because that Norwegian guy, Tak Steff.
Yeah, Edvard. Yeah. Man, he's good, isn't
My God. He's a diamond. He's a diamond.
He is so good. And he's so small.
I know. But what he can do with the ball and with the opponents, this is just some... Sometimes it's out of the world, you know.
He's like Mascherano, but like a Norwegian Mascherano, but with better passing. I can't.
Exactly.
He's so
I'm just hoping is that he won't be like this other guy, Odegaard, or whatever the name he was.
Yeah, Martin Odegaard, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that Gerrard, he will put, you know, good pressure on him and he takes him out of his best.
Yeah. I saw the latest review, you know, when they lost the under-19s, Steve Gerrard came out. I think I saw it on your page, actually, how he came out and basically said, our big players didn't turn up. Simple as that. So it's like, no holds barred. Yeah.
You know, that's tough words. However, I watched this game with courtesy to some Russian TV I found, and I watched this game live, and basically that's a true story. You know, the biggest guns from under-19s, which is a combined team of under-23/under-18s,
right, okay,
best players, they didn't work out. The brightest point was again Camille in goal, and apart from that, wow, that was a pretty sad game to watch, and I don't blame Gerrard saying this, because he basically put it black and white how it was. Yeah. And this is something which I'd say sometimes Jurgen has to say. He did it after Leicester Carabao defeat, that he was furious about the defense. But there was one times out of last six, seven games. So, you know, sometimes manager has to be harsh. That's my opinion. Sometimes manager has to be harsh and say to the public that I'm not happy with the particular player, just to put him into, I don't know, bigger pressure to get better. I don't know. I did it in Football Manager only. I criticized my players in Football Manager and it worked out. So maybe in real life, this is something which it has to work out as well.
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite interviews of all time, of Gerrard's, that is, was, I think it was the 13-14 season, the season when we were absolutely flying. And in that season, we had players like Flanagan come through, Sterling come through, these guys who are actually coming through the academy and doing well for us. And I think there was a game, because you remember the first half of that season, we lost five times. And it was the second half of the season from January onwards where we had that 14-game win streak, which nearly got us the title. And people are like, oh, the Chelsea game lost it for us. I was like, no, actually, the first half of the season lost it for us. We lost five games. We lost once after that. But I think, I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was around late Jan or maybe early Feb. We started to win games. And the journalist went to Gerrard going, oh, these kids coming through the academy, they're doing pretty well, aren't they? They're pretty good. And then Gerrard came back with, but are they really? Are they really that good? Do you honestly believe they're that good? Blah, blah. And he was so, everyone else was raving and ranting about how good these players are. And he was there going, they're not that good. They're good players, but they've still got so much more to do before they can become Liverpool quality players. I believe that was how I was reading it. And it was one of those moments which he went completely against the grain. It doesn't matter. He was more than happy to call out players that he felt weren't performing to their peak and things like that. So firstly, two things for me. I'm extremely happy he didn't jump straight into professional coaching and started coaching a League One team or championship team or something like that, because he gets to be in his comfort zone. And B, he's not going too far away from his ethos. It's a funny thing that one of the other guys on the couch, George Xanthus, pointed out. George is a huge fan of Rafa Benitez's 4-2-3-1 formation with the two holding midfielders. And he's probably listening to this right now, crying a happy tear, going, knowing that I'm talking about 4-2-3-1. And he noticed that Gerrard's under-18 teams is actually playing 4-2-3-1. So under Brendan Rodgers, I believe they decided we're going to make every team play the same formation. Gerrard's under-18 team is playing a formation that seems to work best for the team that he has or whatever Gerrard's own ethos is. And they seem to be performing except for the Spartak game.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, the interview you mentioned in 2013-14, I remember that. I think it was after Aston Villa draw at Anfield 2-2 or something.
I remember exactly.
Might be. That. However, and I agree with Gerrard, because you know he's down to earth. He knows the skills and the abilities of the players he used to work with, and the players he coaches now. So I think this is a good thing. Like a couple of days ago, Gerrard also said that I teach my players to defend like Jamie Carragher, and the thing is that Liverpool misses that scouts core. Like we had in the past, we had Gerrard, Carragher.
Yeah.
Earlier, there was McManaman, there was Fowler. So you know, people from the local area who knew
everyone,
how bloody important it is to play for this red shirt. And even if the result is not going into your way of thinking, you just give yourself, give everything from yourself. You know, sweat, blood and tears. This is what you have to live after the game, and I think this is what Liverpool misses now. There's no high team spirit. Maybe you can see it from the training pictures that everyone's smiling, etc. But there's no local team spirit. That's what I mean, and that's what we miss. Yeah. Like in 2013-14, Many people say that, oh, we lost the championship because of Gerrard's slip. No, bullshit. No, we didn't lost it because of Gerrard's slip. We lost it because we lost against Hull City 3-1 earlier that season.
Yeah.
Because we drew against Aston Villa 2-2, because we conceded 51 goals as a vice champions.
Yeah.
And because we missed Jamie Carragher that season. Don't blame the messenger, but I believe that if we had Jamie Carragher that season, we would won the league.
Ah, for sure. It's amazing how much a proper, and we're seeing that now, how much a proper leader makes to a team on the field. And no disrespect to Jordan Henderson, but he's not as aggro as Cara. And I was thinking
Completely agree. You know, I love Jordan Henderson as a person, because he's got brilliant personality, and I'm pretty sure that he's one of the most respectful people in the dressing room, but he doesn't show it on the pitch. He's playing too accurate. Like, I don't know, 80% of his passes are to the back. I just don't see those leadership skills. There are some games, obviously, there are some games when he can turn up and change the things, like Leicester.
Last two games in a row, he's amazing last two games.
But, you know, earlier four games, he didn't turn up. We didn't have a captain. And this is a sad story, that we didn't have a proper captain for a couple of games. And we miss it. We miss a proper leader.
Yeah.
And the sad things are that even if you stripped off Jordan Henderson from captaincy, there's no such person to replace him. I don't know, Simon Mignolet, but he's a goalie. So, you know, he doesn't have such a much influence.
And
at the pitch.
He's not a 100% starter. You know?
Correct. What's the point? Yes.
Yeah. He's not Oliver Kahn. Oliver Kahn was one of my favorite captains of all time. And he was an obvious starter for Germany and for, you know, his clubs and everything like that. So you need to have that obvious starter in your team to be your captain.
That's the thing. Like, we had Gerrard. If we didn't have Gerrard, we had Carragher. Simple as that.
Yeah. And I had a thought the other day, because I was listening to Redmen TV podcast, because I absolutely love their podcast. Shout out to Redmen TV. but they were talking about, you know, their podcast is titled, you know, What Makes a Liverpool Captain? And so that's quite fascinating to me, because I was listening to it. They were saying that Gerrard was the club captain, but Carragher was the captain on the field in regards to the shouting. And Gerrard was the captain that led through his performances, if that makes sense. And it got me thinking a lot about other captains around the Premier League. And the thing that I like the most is how the captain talks on the field and how the captain argues and how the captain tells people off. And I was thinking, if you got lined up all of the Premier League captains right now, who would win a debate and an angry in your face verbal debate? Because I think that needs to be a heavy skill when it comes to being a captain of a club. You know, the Roy Keynes of the world would win any debate. You know, a Jamie Carragher would win any debate. You know, these are the guys that you need in your face to go,
with, you know, that positive anger in your face.
Yeah.
The aggression, don't get me wrong, I don't think about, you know, aggression to get someone hurt, like Roy Keane used to do. But, you know, Gerrard had a couple of games like that he went roaring, absolutely, you know, fuming on his own players.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Or like Jamie Carragher had an argument with Alvaro Arbeloa. Was it that game against West Ham when he started to shout at Arbeloa and they started to push each other?
Yeah, one sec. My robots decide to move, so you keep talking. I've got to turn my robot off.
Of course, no worries. So, you know, this is the thing that we have to work out. We have to have that verbal captain. I don't know, maybe Henderson is going to be more like the silent captain, Sami Khedira. However, Sami Khedira was also vocal in the defensive lines. So I have no idea where Jordan wants to go, but definitely not with Gerrard / Carragher / Khedira footsteps. I don't know.
Yeah. It's odd, isn't it? But who goes in that spot? Everyone's saying Emre Can maybe, but then He's not a guaranteed starter, but he leads by example with his actions on the field. Anyway, we could probably do an entire podcast just on the captaincy. So we'll move off that. I do want to get your thoughts on, just to finish off this pod, because we have been going for a solid nearly 50 minutes now, which is amazing. Great to have you on. I'd like to get your thoughts on the current situation of Liverpool. We seem to be playing well. We seem to be conceding goals at, you know, a rate of 1 in 3, basically. That seems to be the one. You know, every three shots against us, we're conceding a goal, but we are scoring a goal in 4.9% of the shots that we're sending in. So the stat was 6 goals in 121 attempts. But
absolute disaster.
I know, it's a crazy stat, isn't it? What are your thoughts on the current situation? What do you think is going to fix it?
Well, January transfer window, I'd say. Because we are lacking the quality in the defense. This is something which is the highest talking point in the UK, that we didn't work out our transfer window well. And as much as I love Jurgen Klopp, because he's such a character, I think he slept over this one, because he wanted to buy Van Dijk so badly that he didn't think about the other alternatives. So we didn't get Van Dijk, and we clearly knew that we basically need another fullback, because there's a hole in there which needs to be filled out. And right now we finished with Matip, who is great, with Lovren, who is like a bomb. You never know when he's exploding. And with Kravan, when his good playing times are far, far away. You know, I love Ragnar, but the only thing which connects him with the Vikings is his name. That's all. There's no fight with Ragnar. There's no accurate playing. Yeah. There's no aggression in Ragnar. So this is something which is worrying me. And this is the main thing, that we don't have a consistent defense. And also, I don't believe that rotating the goalkeepers is a good idea to do. Of course, we've got three different places to play: Premier League, Champions League, and domestic cups. Okay, it seems fair to give all the goalkeepers to get some minutes on the field, like we have now: Karius in Champions League, Mignolet in Premier League, and Danny Ward for domestic cups, FA Cup right now, because we are out of Carabao Cup. Yeah. But it doesn't work out from the defensive line and for the goalkeeper. I remember from my time when I used to be a goalie, I wanted to have a consistent line in front of me. I wanted to play with those four players week in, week out. And I believed they wanted to play with me week in, week out, to gain each other the confidence that you want, that you knew that, let's say, okay, I'm a goalie, but if I make any error, I know that I can be sure that someone from the defensive line will help me. I don't know, will be behind me and kick the ball out from the line, or if the defensive line will be so much stretched that I will go out and I will punch the ball out. This is the confidence.
A quick question I want to ask you then. Mm-hmm. If you lined up all three of them right now, and it's not about Klopp, it's about you and your decision, out of the performances you've seen so far this season, who would you prefer to have starting for Liverpool?
I was tweeting something about today, about changing the formation, changing completely the formation. Instead of playing 4-3-3, rather to start with three central defenders in the back, like whole of England are playing it right now. Yeah. Arsenal started to play with three fullbacks. Chelsea did it well last season, and they do well right now. Man United, they even do it like that. So my suggestion would be to play Gomez, Matip, and Lovren at the back. And as a wide players, Trent and Moreno/Robertson, because both Moreno and Robertson are playing on the same level right now. And I'm surprised with Alberto, and I'm positively surprised because
yeah, took his time, but he got there in the end. Right?
Wow, it's like having a new player right now. So you see, this is how Alberto Moreno changed from last season.
Yeah,
and
supply the pressure, then, and the diamond came out of it. So.
Exactly, and then you've got three midfield players, so you can put whoever you want right now. You can put Coutinho, Henderson, Chan, or you can put Coutinho, Wijnaldum, Henderson, or Milner, or whatever you want to do. And two up front, well, I decide to go with Salah and Mane, or something completely different. However, start to play with three at the back, and maybe it will pay out. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. It's weird having Salah and Mane as your two attackers. It's because it just doesn't make sense mentally. I remember earlier in the season, like more like preseason, I put out the idea of maybe playing Mane and Salah as the wingbacks. And it's just like, mm-hmm. got completely trashed. But they're both keen to defend. So
Exactly.
If our three centre-backs are able to do the job, then you can squeeze in Coutinho, Wijnaldum, Henderson if you wanted to. You could still have Mane and Salah on the field. And you could squeeze in Solanke and Sturridge, or Firmino and Sturridge, or whatever combination you want to have as your two central strikers. It still works.
That's correct.
So, yeah. I still think I'm on the fence. I got to see it first. I don't know if Mane and Salah would want to play as wing back. It's more like just wingers who get back now and then when they need to. But they seem keen and eager, and the amount of times I've seen Salah sprint full pace backwards to defend, I'm like, that guy could quite easily play that role, and Mane gets back quite often too. So,
of course, that's the universality of the players we have in the team. You could take any other formation from the world, and you could set up a good team. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, I think that 4-3-3 works well. It's just a lack of finishing in the last three. But this is something that you cannot blame Klopp for. It's not Klopp's fault that our front line cannot convert their chances into goals.
Yeah,
you know, he cannot score the goals instead of them. He's just a coach, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those guys who looks at deep lying defenses and goes immediately, that is not a job for Sturridge. It's not a job for Firmino. It's a job for someone like Solanke, who still mm-hmm. has the pace to get in behind, but has the heading ability. He is a target. He is a person that our wide wingers, as well as Trent and Moreno, can aim for and go, look, if we throw in 20 of these in a game, he's going to hit one and it's going to go in. I wish he was able to change it up enough. I'd love to see Solanke start in the low lying defenses, just to see
how
he goes. So
you know, he played very well during the World Cup. Was it World Cup or European Championship in Poland?
Yeah, under-20 World Cup where they won it. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So you know, his games, his ability to convert chances into goal. This is something that we really, really need to. And I agree with you. I'm on the same side. I would love to see him playing more and more.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're going to wrap it up now because we're about to crack the hour mark. But I was wondering, do you have any people you'd like to give a quick shout out to or a thanks, anything like that?
Obviously, yes. First of all, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's been great.
Absolute pleasure. I'm hoping that finally we will meet in person. So you're more than welcome to come to Liverpool anytime you want.
especially for a game. You know, I just got married. Saving up the dollars now.
Also, I'd like to send my regards to all Australian Reds. You are very, very welcome in Liverpool as well, anytime. Please come over. Please support the team. Best regards to Polish Reds in Australia, and I think the whole Reds contingent around the world. All of us are lovely people. So it's been a pleasure once again, Nish, and I'm hoping it will be very well.
It's been amazing, and it's great to chat to you finally. As I said, knowing you for possibly coming on 5 years, but I don't think we've ever actually chatted like this. Maybe we have. My brain's not working right now, but it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you and hear your story as well, because everyone's got a different story. Yours is very unique, so it's great to hear it.
Good to hear that. Thank you very much, Nish.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. Bit of a slightly different episode, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Please let us know. My question for all of you who are listening out there is, who would be your number one goalkeeper? And also, and you get extra bonus points if you say Kamil Grabara as well, just saying. So, since we've got Rado on the pod. But please follow Rado on Twitter. That's RadoChmiel. So follow him on Twitter. Great person to follow. And if you speak Polish, it's an extra bonus because you get to understand what the hell he's writing. So it's always good without relying on Bing. So, it's like, you want a hamburger in your milkshake? Anyway, good old Bing. All right, guys, have a very good day or night. See you later. Goodbye. Lovely cushion header.